Chris, what exactly happened with Sergei Bobrovsky and John Tortorella? It wasn't in the release. We were told everything was in the release. It's not in the release.
Yeah, not enough was in the release, but, you know, it's no secret that things have been going difficultly for them since the end of last season. You know, at the end of the playoffs, John Tortorella had said that he thought the goaltender should see a sports psychologist. You know, that was something, Sergei Bobrovsky disputed in the media. And, you know, look, he's been pulled four times this season, including the last game they played in Tampa. And there was some kind of incident after that. But, you know, I'm not sure outside the walls of the Blue Jackets if anyone knows what went down. But it's a pretty unusual measure, I guess, to put it that way, that they would, you know, make an example of him the way they have and publicly sit him out, because there are ways they could have disciplined him privately where we wouldn't be talking about this and know about it. And, you know, they obviously chose to make an example of him. And, you know, I think it's fair to ask now what the future holds for Bobrovsky in Columbus. I mean, we know next year he won't be there as a pending unrestricted free agent. But, you know, I do wonder if perhaps we're talking about him getting traded by the trade deadline.
Interesting. Here's the thing. Like, this is not a normal scenario. If this was a goaltender with a lot of term, maybe it doesn't get treated this way. But Bobrovsky's really not been warmed by the, you know, the extensions that have been floated. And here, you know, the guy has basically said he's not real keen on coming back. So if you're the Blue Jackets and he's not behaving the way you want him to, yeah, maybe you do go a little more public with the punishment. Would that make sense to you?
It does. And, you know, another key factor here is that Bobrovsky holds a no trade clause and a no movement clause. So if they do intend to try and trade him out by February 25th, they're going to need his consent to do so. And part of me wonders if, you know, what's behind the public aspect of this is trying to maybe expedite that process or make him a little more willing to leave right away. Because clearly, you know, something hasn't worked. I mean, his performance hasn't been up to where it's been in the past this season. I mean, that's a factor in what's happening here. I think there's some wider frustration going on in the organization. And you know, there's a meeting tomorrow between Jarmo Kekalainen and Sergei Bobrovsky that, you know, I think we'll soon have an idea if they can get on the same page, if they can maybe bury some differences and get through this season, or, you know, if coming out of that meeting, he's not at practice tomorrow, he's not at their game on Saturday, you know, I think we'll probably be talking about potentially the end of his tenure in Columbus.
Boy, that'd be drastic. I really didn't see that as the end game. I sort of felt these two teams needed each other more and a ton, given that Bob's set to hit the market July 1 and that the Columbus Blue Jackets don't have other goaltending options that have performed well. Yunus Korpisalo has not been good. And clearly, given how close they were to beating the Capitals last year, this would be a group that would be, you know, primed to say, like, look, this is our window. We got to go on a run here. I almost feel like this relationship is built out of necessity for the next few months, and then they'll part their separate ways. But you think, well, what does a trade look like here? I don't see them being comfortable rolling with Berube and Korpisalo.
No, it would be an extreme measure. And look, it's not destined necessarily to go that way. I do think that this meeting looms pretty large to see if they can put their differences aside or you know, make peace after whatever's happened here. You know, you could understand if the player maybe has some reservations about playing for the team after, you know, they haven't, you know, put him out in this way as punishment. I mean, I think it hangs in the balance somewhat, but in the big picture, removed from the emotion of whatever's happened in the last couple of days here, I agree with you. Look, goalies, when you trade them, rarely get you back very much as it is. A goalie on an expiring contract, I don't think there's that many teams as good as Bobrovsky has been the last number of years and won two Vezinas. There's not a ton of teams out there that would be incentivized to give up very much for him at this stage. I mean, most of the good teams heading towards the playoffs don't need a number one goalie. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't see an easy out. And I do concur that Columbus, I mean, they have too many good players. I mean, to me, they're not in a full rebuild. They obviously have a very difficult situation between Bobrovsky and Panarin and the likelihood they'll lose both. But they still have some pretty good pieces there. And you know, I don't think that they want to punt on this season in any way. So probably what is best is to make up and you know, have Bobrovsky play well and see what they can get out of this season and then wish him, you know, well at the end of the year and he'll go on his merry way. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to get everything back on the rails given the way this has all played out.
Well, I'll say this. Like, you've got $12.5 million of cap space, $13.5 million of cap space tied up between Bobrovsky and Panarin. It certainly isn't ideal that these two guys are leaving, but it wouldn't be crazy to suggest they could find better-than-average NHL net mining and then go after a top-flight winger or forward, be it, you know, Duchesne, Stone, maybe Nyquist is a lighter version of that, Skinner if he doesn't re-up. Like, this is the right offseason to try to go replace some offense on the wing.
Exactly. And you know, I know I've been down to Columbus a couple of times this year. I mean, one reason management there maybe hasn't been as concerned as the fan base or observers have for their situation is that they view that cap space as potential. And you know, I think they like both the players. I think in a different universe, they would have signed them both to extensions last summer and there wouldn't be a question about this. But they've chosen to view the opportunity still and having that kind of space and having a team that's still going to include Zach Werenski, Seth Jones, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's really emerged as a pretty solid centerman. I'd say even a number one centerman already at this point when you look at underlying numbers and his production now. And so, you know, they're not totally lost. And you know, there's a lot you can do with that $13 million. So, you know, I think that they're choosing to believe that there's still an outside chance they lock Panarin up and that there's other things they can do with that money to ensure that they don't have a precipitous fall next season. So, you know, they are not nearly as, I guess, feeling as dire about this as I think the way it's been portrayed elsewhere or the way some of their fan base feels, because they look at the free agent market you're looking at and see opportunity. You know, one thing Kekalainen has never been afraid to do is make a big trade. You know, he traded for Brandon Saad a few years ago and then traded for Artemi Panarin with Saad afterwards. And, you know, I do think that they see some hope with having that cap space, that having that kind of room is valuable when you still have a team with a whole bunch of young cornerstone players, which they have. So, you know, they're trying to build up still. And, you know, they're not going to just take a punt on things because it might not end well for the